right, what's up, everybody? Thanks so much for tuning in. This is another episode of For What It's Worth with Wes Hoffman. I guess it's not really tuning in if you're on a podcast. We don't tune in like we do on the radio or anything like that. but I thank you for, hitting listen on your favorite podcast app of choice. So, this is a great episode. This is with my friend Helen McWilliams from One Fall. They are an awesome band from Salem, Massachusetts. We have been lucky enough to play with them a couple times now. Both times have been in New York City for music fests here. So those were awesome shows. Super, super fun. We talk about them a little bit on the podcast here. So, I am very thankful to have Helen on. Make sure to check out their new EP that they put out. I think it's called Cut and Run. Very, very good stuff. If you're into aggressive punk, with awesome guitar riffs and soaring melodies, this is right up your alley. So, if you do like this podcast, please give us a follow and a rating on your favorite podcast app. That would help us out a little bit. And I am going to put my band actually put out a new song last week. It's called After Hours. So I'm going to play it for you here. I don't know if many people who listen to this podcast have heard any of my music. So I'm going to play it here, and then we're going to go right into the podcast with Helen. But thank you so much for listening. If you like this song, please go listen to it on your favorite streaming platform, Spotify, Apple Music. I don't even think we have it up on Bandcamp. iTunes, Tidal, Deezer, YouTube Music, it's on all the other streaming platforms. So go listen to it. Here is After Hours by Wes Hoffman and Friends.
From One Fall, how are you? I'm great. I'm so excited to be talking to you. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. Yeah, so I'm stoked to be talking to you too. How are things in are you guys in Salem?
Yes.
Okay, Salem, awesome. Mass. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, how are things up there?
It's pretty warm, but it's good.
Yeah.
I like the heat, and it's freezing most of the year, so I'm like, I'm on board. I'm not going to complain about it.
Yeah, yeah. It has been so hot this summer here in St. Louis, where I'm from. It's just been like, it's unbearable.
Really?
Yeah. Bleh. But my girlfriend loves the heat too. So she's like loving it. She's like, oh no, it's great. I'm like, man, I can't be outside for more than 10 minutes unless I start sweating. So
yeah, we definitely have some, thermostat wars. I mean, not really. It's more like my partner, Kyle, to tolerate my desire to keep the house really hot. But he's sad about it.
Right. Awesome. So you guys, okay. So I have a story to tell you. I don't think I ever told you this before.
Oh my God.
So the first song, so when I first met you, last year in New York, I told you that I really liked one of your songs, and I couldn't remember the name of it, but it's the first song off the Slingshot EP. I think it's just called Slingshot.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So, and I found out about you guys from my friend Emily Plamondon in Canada, the punk rockette.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, she posted about your song, and I mean, this was probably in like 2019, I want to say. She posted about it, and I was like, that's I'm going to check it out. Like, she has really good taste in music. So I was like, I'm going to check this out. And I played that EP on repeat, like, for like hours.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
I really, really liked it a lot.
I don't even know what year. It would have been like 2021 or 2022 or something.
Okay. That makes sense. Okay. Yeah. That would make sense. I'm trying to think of where I was when I saw it.
Because
I was driving and it was 2022. For whatever reason, I was like, I was in my car and I was driving and I would listen to it on repeat during that drive. So,
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so cool to hear.
So tell me a little bit about, I've never really gotten to like talk to you about like, how did One Fall, how did you guys, what's the origin story?
Okay.
I love a good origin story.
Let me see here. So Bill and Caleb and I all used to work together at Harmonix, which is a music video game developer. I still work there. Well, we got bought by Epic, so now I work for Epic, but it's the same.
Okay.
I still work with the same company, the same people. And we were all working on Rock Band games at the time. And so everybody at the studio like was in bands and went to see each other's bands all the time. And so I had like my old band, which was called The Giant, and then we had to change our name to Tijuana Sweetheart because we got sued for the band name crazily enough because it's such a stupid band name. But that band used to play shows all the time with Phil and Caleb's band, which was called Giant Target. And so they knew me from that. And then years, I mean, like I didn't play for like 10 years or something after that band broke up. And then right when I started thinking about forming a band again, Phil happened to reach out to me. Caleb had like been living in California for like, a decade. And the whole time I was always like, if I ever start a band again, I'm going to try to get Caleb to play drums for me. He's such a good drummer. I love his drumming. And then Phil hit me up and was like, hey, just so you know, our mutual friend Caleb is moving back over out here. He's probably going to move to Salem. So just wanted to let you know, maybe we'll have a party or something. And I was like, cool, I'm going to ask him to play in a band with me. And he was like, oh, well, I was going to ask him to play in a band with me. And I was like, what kind of band do you want to do? And he was like, oh, I don't know, like kind of melodic hardcore. And I was like, okay, because I want to be in a Wilhelm Scream, but like not as good as a Wilhelm Scream, but like that's what I want to do. And he was like, great, that's exactly what I want to do. So we'll both be in a band and we'll get Caleb to be in our band together, which is what happened. And then it took us a long time to try to like land on the perfect bass player for us. Kyle was filling in, Kyle from Oda Humanity, he filled in for a while while we were searching which was awesome because he's amazing. And then we found Darren through another harmonics person. And Darren's just like the nicest person ever. And he tolerates us for some reason. So he's great.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. So did this all start kind of around like pandemic times?
Pandemic times. Yeah. Okay. Right around then. I had like decided, I had been asked to play. I mean, every once in a while, someone would ask my old band to like, would we do a reunion show? And I was always like, no, I don't even know how to play guitar anymore. But one day I was asked right after I had met my now partner, and I was like, really wanted to impress him. And so they were like, would you do a show? And I was like, yeah, a show. If you do a show, you can impress people. I will do that. So that was kind of how I got back into playing again. And that was during pandemic-y times.
Okay.
So, I guess it was still solid pandemic-y times while One Fall formed.
That's awesome. I mean, that's kind of how it happened for me too. Like,
really?
I mean, we had been a band before the pandemic, but like we were kind of just doing like, you know, we weren't taking it super seriously and like just kind of doing it for fun. And like, I mean, we still do it for fun, you know what I mean? But like, it wasn't like as big of a part of my life as it is now. And then, you know, during COVID, like I went through a divorce and I like,
me too.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember we talked about this trauma bomb.
Yeah.
And I started writing music again. And I was like, it was just like a therapeutic thing for me to like write these songs and kind of get out like what I was going through. And then I was like, okay, these songs are really good. These are probably some of the best songs I've ever written. Like, I think I want to, you know, give it a go and like try to do a bunch of stuff that I've never done, like tour and, you know, play shows everywhere I can. I think the pandemic was a big like catalyst for a lot of creative people to like start making art again. Cause like there was really nothing else to do for a while.
Yeah. It's funny. I knew a lot of people. I think it sort of went either way for a lot of folks, because I knew people who had been like very active artistically or musically before. And then the pandemic, it just sort of shut down their ability. They were like, there's nothing to write about. I don't feel anything. I don't see enough people to like feel things. And other people, you know, like myself, were sort of like, I'm bored. I want to organize things now. I have energy to like do things. It is interesting for sure. Like the impact it had.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Like I felt the same thing in terms of like when I was in a band back in the day, it would have been like much easier to tour with that band probably, you know? And I had like no real desire to like work to do any of those things or to like, you know, put out records even. I was sort of like, just play local shows. Who cares? Like I was just like, wasn't that motivated in my 20s. And then now when it's like much harder and I have like a job and a kid and stuff like that, now I'm like, oh, time's running out. Remember the pandemic? You never know when shows might go away. We have to do everything right now. So
yeah.
There's like much more energy and effort to like try to play fests and meet people and get out of our town a little bit.
Yeah. I totally agree because and as I've gotten older, like I toured a little bit when I was like in my early 20s and stuff, but like, now I'm older and I kind of know, I can kind of understand how things work. And I'm much better at like putting together tours and navigating, like, you know, I ran my own business for a while. So I'm much better at navigating kind of the business world of, you know, just kind of knowing, like asking questions to the venues, like, hey, how do you pay your bands? And like, how much does it cost to do a show? Like stuff that I never really thought about when I was younger. I was just like, well, we'll just go play. And if somebody walks up to us and gives us money at the end, I guess we'll, right, you know, but I didn't realize that like I need to be the one that initiating and like going and settling up and, you know, asking these questions.
I still suck at that part.
right.
People are always like, did we get paid? I'm like, oh, I don't know. Who cares? But like, oh yeah, I have to ask.
No, and as I've gotten older too, I'm like, okay, I don't know how much longer I'm going to have that energy to do this. So I'm like, let's just do as much as we can right now.
That's the thing, you know, I found that one thing that really has made a difference to me is like, it never occurred to me to like push or to like ask back in my 20s. You know what I mean? It would just be like, people would ask us to play a local show and we would do it or not do it. And then now I'll you know, people will be like, how did you play in Puerto Rico? And I'm like, oh, I asked if we could.
Yeah.
I looked at where the cool bands played when they went to Puerto Rico. I found out who booked there and I was like, hi, can we play there? And he said, yes. Like, that's how we get everything. It's just, I'm like, hi, can we open for you? And sometimes bands say yes. Like,
yeah.
Learning to not be embarrassed to ask for things that seem out of your reach, because like every once in a while, someone, you know, when we got on our first festival, I think it was Pooza, and I was like, oh my God, what?
Yeah.
Like, I could not believe they said yes. It was anticipating, because my theory was, I'll ask all these festivals every year, and eventually they'll notice that I've asked 10 times.
Right.
And maybe they'll be like, ah, fine, you can, you know? And so when occasionally they said yes very early, I was like, oh, if you ask for things, sometimes they happen.
Yeah, no, totally. You know? Totally. I think a big thing that you're kind of hitting on, and that I love to talk about, and that it was like a really big eye-opening thing for me too, was just like living with intention. Like,
yeah,
you know, like, just, I felt like for a lot of part, you know, going back to like my divorce, but like also my career and stuff, like I was just kind of like I didn't really think about what I wanted in yeah. life, and like what I wanted in a career, or like even a partner and relationships and all that. And like, you know, really, at different times, like in my career, I've like been at jobs where I've been like, why am I working here? I don't like this. Like, why don't I, yeah, like, yeah. I don't feel like I ever wanted this in the first place. And then, and yeah. you know, then I would kind of be like, well, what do I want in a job? And then, you know, so I've had several crossroads with that. And then like, you know, again, and then with my marriage and like going through divorce and like everything like that. And you're like, well, what do I really want in out of life? And I've heard a lot of bands, sorry, you're getting me really excited talking about all this stuff.
Yeah,
it's
totally.
Getting kind of deep. I've heard a lot of bands say exactly what you said, oh, we used to just like, you know, if somebody would ask us to play, we'd play. We never really thought about booking our own show. We would just always had local bands asking us if we wanted to play, and we'd play. We never thought about like booking a headliner show or like really doing tours. And, you know, and then they're like, and something clicked and they were like, why don't we go do this tour? Why don't we ask this label if they'll put out our record? Or why don't we do? And the more that I've kind of realized, like thought about, okay, what do I really want? Like, the more it kind of just like becomes clear of what I need to do to make that happen.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. And I often say like, I work really well with a constraint. So sometimes I look to my bandmates, especially for if there's something that's like their dream. A lot of the time, I think people, when it's your own dream, it's easy to feel like very passive about it, you know,
yeah.
Like, well, that's my dream, but whatever. But I love knowing somebody else has a dream, and then I'm like, I'm gonna make that happen for you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's something, it's like when it's not something that you're attached to in the same way, I think it's easier to go for it. So there were things like that I still can't believe happened, you know, where Phil, I remember Phil talking about being like a huge Nat Gray fan,
yeah.
and just being like, oh, if I could ever, could you imagine if we could ever, ever meet Nat Gray from Voice That's Fire? And I was like, I think they're in a new thing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I like, and then through this like crazy chain of events, you know, it's like Phil fills in with Iron Roses.
Yeah.
Now, and they're always like talking about us, you know? And I'm like, how did this happen? But it was, you know, it's those things. Or Phil, you know, I don't know, Phil's so sweet, so I like making his dreams come true. But, you know, Phil saying like, oh, I would love to play in my hometown in England. And I was like, great, I'll book a tour in the UK. I kind of wanted to do that too, but now I really want to do it. and so now I keep doing that with them, where I'm like, if we go somewhere next year, who has a country they want to go to?
Like, yeah.
Or just anything like that, because I think it is easier to just decide on one specific thing and then just make everything work around that.
Yeah.
thing, you know? I was like, I want to go see the Columbo statue in Budapest. So probably we're going to go play somewhere close enough to that, that we can go to that.
You know?
Like, that would... sometimes a dumb, some dumb idea can really be motivating.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I really think, like, you know, you've got me thinking about different things that I've wanted to do that now we've done, you know, and like some of my, I think sometimes just knowing what you want and thinking about it and like that, like kind of pulls, like it starts aligning all the pieces together. I feel like there's this weird, like, I know this is a little universal or like spiritual or whatever, but I feel like the universe starts lining things up when you're like, yeah, I really want to do this. And I think I can do this. And like, I believe that it can happen. And like it's like Minecraft or something, like all the puzzles pieces like start lining up, and then before you know it, you're doing the thing, you know? And
I know, it's funny. I'm the least woo-woo person. Like I'm such a buzzkill on everything. I'm like, I don't believe in ghosts. I don't believe in afterlife. I don't believe in anything like at all.
That's weird for living in Salem too.
I know, I'm the worst. I'm like, okay, witches, like I'm the worst. But that's the one thing where I'm like, I do think that saying, like really thinking about what you want and saying it out loud to people makes a difference. And you know, I don't know if it's the universe lining things up. It feels like it is.
Yeah.
But I think it is like just telling people what you want increases the odds of that thing happening, because you never know what connection somebody might have or what ability they might have, or they might, you know, say like, oh, I really want to play in Nottingham. It's like, oh, I actually know someone who books a great venue. You should go connect with them, you know? And especially in our scene, I found so many people like willing to go way out of their way to connect us with people that they think we should be connected to. But you have to say the thing that you want in order to make those pieces fall into place.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that was my big thing for a while. And I think that's things with, I think there's, I think a lot of bands too, like, they're just like, maybe they don't know what they want to do. You know what I mean? Or like for a long time, I didn't believe that these things could happen. Like
that's the big one.
Yeah.
It's insecurity. Right. And I get it.
Totally. And if you would have told me like, you know, our most recent record has been mixed by Trevor from A Wilhelm Scream. We just recently played with Strung Out. We just recently signed with Spam Records. If you would have told me all this stuff like 5 years ago, I would be like, you are totally, just, you're being mean right now. You're telling me this is true. And you're literally just like jerking me around. Like,
I know, like, it's crazy. I still feel like that all the time, you know, of like, just, it's so, I mean, when we put that 3-song EP out, we didn't, first of all, we recorded those songs in our basement, and it wasn't like, you know, we didn't like put a ton of time into it, to me, you know what I mean?
It sounds really good.
Oh, thank you. I mean, Kyle did it, so of course it sounds good, but in our basement, you know, my intention there was like, oh, let's get 3 songs recorded, like decently, not super fancy. And then that way we can send those to other bands, like local bands, to just say, hey, can we open for you? This is what we sound like. I never intended to put it out. I just was like, I was going to send it around. And then it sounded really good. So I was like, maybe we'll put it on Spotify or whatever. And then that way we can link people to it. And I don't have to like, you know,
yeah,
I don't have to like download an MP, whatever. And then, you know, it ends up in this story where like you heard it and we're listening to it before we'd ever met. That's insane. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how, I would never have believed that that was what was going to happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Crazy.
And I was so stoked whenever you guys were on that fest, last year, you know, this year also, but like the year before, I was so stoked for it. I was like, oh my God, Oath of Humanity and One Fall and Tired Radio. I was like, I would go to this. I would be wanting to go to this fest if I wasn't playing anyway. Like,
that's how I feel every time, you know, any show like that we're psyched to do. And we don't care if anybody else shows up, because I'm like, well, I was going to go anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to meet those bands. I want those bands to see me play. I want to see those bands. So like when we're in those situations, which happens sometimes in our weird subgenre, that like, you know, we're playing all for the other bands. I'm like, great, that's who I wanted to be around anyway.
Yeah, so that's yeah, exactly. So tell me a little bit about, you mentioned like you wanted to sound kind of like Wilhelm Scream, but not as good.
Yeah. Just being realistic.
I mean, those guys, I have no idea. I still have, like when I listen to some of their music, them and Strung Out, you know, and I'm a pretty good guitar player. I'm not the best, but I'm like, I still listen to their stuff and I'm like, how are they making these sounds? I have no idea how to even visualize like how they're, I mean, I guess I can kind of think that they're just moving their fingers really fast, but like, I'm just like, I'm like, how are you guys doing this? Like, are you guys all like classically trained, like musicians? Did you take lessons for hours and like years while you're younger to get this good? Like, you know, but anyway,
it's the flawlessness of the live performance for me. Like, that you can, you know, seeing Trevor sing pitch perfect harmonies while playing some crazy riff or solo thing that you're like, I couldn't do either of those things on its own. And you're doing both at the same time.
Yeah.
So awesome. Yeah, it's really inspiring. I mean, that's why I love seeing them. I'm like,
absolutely. Yeah. Super high energy show too, you know, like, so, but what were some of your other influences that you, were you always just like drawn to hardcore and like, you know, cause you guys have kind of like a melodic, you know, you have great, especially on your new EP, some of the lights out for you and I, like, man, that was just like the minute I heard that the first time I was like, this is so dope.
Like, so, thank you so
cause
much.
I'm such a bit, I'm a sucker for like really catchy melody and choruses too. So, you know,
Awesome.
So what was kind of, what were some of your other influences like leading up to this band that you, that kind of like, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we have very diverse tastes in the band. So it is, it's cool. It's one of the things that I like is that, you know, Darren comes really from metal. So he's like metal dude. He didn't know any of these bands coming in, which was really fun for us. Cause I'd be like, you know, as soon as we started talking to him and he was interested in joining up, I was like, you need to listen to, you know, this playlist, you know, here's a Wilhelm Scream and Strung Out and Strike Anywhere. And like all these big bands that like, I can't believe I'm introducing someone to, but like, he was like, this is great, you know? And like, it would be so funny to me when he would fall in love with something. He was like, madly in love with Tired Radio. And I was I know we all love Tired Radio, but just seeing that, you know, somebody who's coming from a very different genre, like what he would get really into would always surprise me because it wasn't always like the heaviest thing. And then Caleb and Phil both have like really diverse tastes. Phil in particular, like he likes more different genres and more different kinds of music openly and like without any kind of like, oh, this is my, what do you call it? Like, was like a secret, what do you call it when there's
guilty
like a band
pleasure.
You're not, yes, a guilty pleasure. We don't even use the term. Like he doesn't feel like that. He's just like, I like this. It's cool. I don't care. I don't care, you know? So he listens to just everything. And he's, he like loves the Goo Goo Dolls, for instance.
Oh,
so
I love Goo Goo Dolls too. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's definitely like, there were parts on some of our, you know, on our new EP, the song Harder Days, when we were mapping it out and I was trying to like describe the different parts. And I was like, I have this crazy idea for a structure and it's going to combine like this heavy riff to with these like really Goo Goo Dollsy riffs. So it like on the board, it was like, Wilhelm, Megadeth, Goo Goo Dolls, 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 Goo Goo Dolls. And I was like, it's going to go like this.
Okay, which song is this? Which?
Harder Days.
Harder Days. Okay, I'm going to listen to it after. Yeah.
It's a very, I mean, it's a really interesting song if you think about it that way, because it is a very, like, it. You can hear, certainly hear the, like, melodic hardcore influence on the beginning. And then there's just this, like, crazy Megadeth riff. I think it's in 10. You know, because we like to just like throw a weird, weird thing at you. And then the rest of the song is just like this Goo Goo Dolls repeating thing over and over. And Kevin Athis from Oh the Humanity comes in and does a big guest vocal with me on it. And it's awesome. But yeah, anyway, we have all, you know, a lot of different influences. I'm like straight up, like this genre is the, it's what I listen to. Like, of course I like other things occasionally, but like I am like solidly in this camp. Like Manchester Punk Fest, Pooza Fest bands is like, that's what I like. I love, we're very influenced by like Darko.
Okay.
And the band Fair Dues is like a huge
okay.
influence for me. That one is always, I drive the band crazy because folks like Phil and Caleb are like, hey, we have to maybe sometimes make music that human people like, that's
right.
hooks and choruses. And I'm like, I don't think so. Not interested. What if it was all riffs and it was super fast and just like the fastest thing you ever played and really hard. And I was almost never singing, just shouting. And they're like, what if sometimes you were singing big choruses though? So, it is usually a little bit of a battle. And I think you can kind of hear it. You can hear it like, oh, I want in this part around
yeah,
this song.
Yeah.
And then like, okay, Phil won on this song.
No, I'm honestly like, hold on. I got to let my dog out. He's going insane. Hold
oh, yeah,
on.
Do your thing.
He does this at least once an episode.
I can't wait to talk about your dog.
What's that?
I can't wait to talk about your dog, too.
Oh, yeah, he does this at least once an episode where he goes outside and then he wants to come back in. But, yeah, he's a really good boy. I take him to work with me sometimes. I work at a dog food company.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah, so I take him to work with me sometimes. But it happens like once an episode. He wants to go outside or come in or something. So,
well, yeah, it's okay.
yeah, no, it's totally fine. Yeah.
Belvedere too, by the way, because I just saw your show.
Oh yeah, I'm huge. We got to play with them a couple of years ago too, and they
we
were
did
like,
too. It's the craziest
yeah,
thing.
They were one of those bands that I was always like, man, you know, I'd love to play with Belvedere, and they like Steve actually just messaged me on Facebook Messenger and was like, hey, can you help us book a show? And I was like, yeah, like I was like, and I'm playing it.
And I will be honest, he's unbelievably nice and helpful.
Oh, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
He is one of those people who has gone way out of his way to help us and like didn't have to. And, you know, it's crazy that
yeah.
he is a person who's like, oh, here, let me make sure. Do you have a visa for when you go to England? And I was like, oh, do you have to? And he's like, yes, here, let me help you. So.
See, that's the one thing that I'm a little, and I talked to Kyle and Kevin about this too, is like, that's the one we really want to tour Europe. That's like the next
yeah.
thing. And you know, now we're working with Spam. So we think that, you know, if we get on their fest over there, then we can build a tour around it. You know, that's really been one of our big goals with this band, is we wanted to do California and Canada and now like the UK and Europe. And you know, but I don't know anything about getting a visa done. So if Steve...
I'll help you. It's super easy.
Okay,
it's
good.
It's super easy. Because Steve put me in touch with these people who are, like, really good, and they just deal with everything for you, and it's super easy.
You just, like, pay them, and they just take care of... Okay, that's perfect.
At least in the UK. I don't know if it's different dealing with Europe, but that was very easy, so...
Okay, awesome. Well, I'm excited about that. No, but I'm the same way that you are. Like, I like different kinds of music. I love, like... old stuff like Beach Boys, and I love old Motown, and I, you know, I love even like my girlfriend's really into like singer-songwriter, like kind of country folk stuff, and I can listen to that stuff too. But like my main preference is just like, and I'm 42 years old, and I'm not ashamed. I just love to listen to like punk rock and pop punk like all the time, and I think it's for me, it's. I like to listen to stuff that inspires me as a musician. So
yeah.
I like for it to have like some kind of technical riff or some kind of catchy riff. And I like for it to have some kind of like melodic chorus. And if it has that, then I'm hooked.
Yeah. Same. I feel the same way. And it's like, there's something to learn from all different kinds of punk, but you know, it's like, I have to remember both things of like, I'll listen to that Iron Roses and just be like, oh my God, I need to write better choruses, or like, I need to repeat things more often. I need to simplify what I'm doing. Like, we are not good at this. I want to be like that good. And then I'll listen to Fair Dues and be like, oh, we shouldn't even do choruses. Like, we should just be so weird. And I just want to make that noise right there and then just play in nine for a while, you know.
I'm gonna have to listen to them. I have not. Are they a European band or
they're UK? And
okay, I
don't
they
think
were.
they're one of those bands that's like, because I don't live there. I don't have a sense of how big they are.
Sure.
So when we went to see them at Manchester Punk Fest, and I was asking people, I was like, hey, if I go up front for them, will I get crowd killed? And everyone was like, no. And I was like, oh, because in my mind, they're like the biggest band in this country. But, you know, just like all of us, like, nobody's huge in our genre.
Yeah.
You know?
It's so funny to me because I live in St. Louis. Have you ever been to St. Louis?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so we're in the middle of America, like literally it's Midwest, and you know, punk rock especially, so we're not a super big city, like and punk rock especially, so we're not a super huge market, and then so the percentage of people that like punk is even smaller. And the percentage of people that like will go out to shows is even smaller. So a band like Strung Out, to me though, in my mind, I'm like, this is a huge band. Like this venue, this show should be sold out. Like, you know, we're playing like a 350 cap venue. I'm like, this should be packed. And, you know, I don't think it's any disservice to Strung Out. Like, but there's like maybe 150, 200 people there. Like, and I mean, that's a good show, but I'm like, man, those guys play in California and they're selling out like 2000 cap rooms. You know what I mean? Like it's just kind of, as I'm getting older, I'm realizing like the bands that I really like and that you and I like, and that, you know, like when they play big festivals, everybody's there and it's packed, and it's, you know, when they play some big fest, like, you know, like Warped Tour or something, like you know, there's a lot of people there and there's a lot of fans, but when they go on tour, it's like it depends on the market. It depends on different places. They sell out in Montreal, you know, like, but they come to St. Louis and it's like, you know, there's 150 people and it's just, punk is a weird thing.
It's weird. You know? And it's so unpredictable. Like and that's one of the things that's fun and weird about tours is that you'll think, oh, I noticed a lot of activity in this one city. People keep telling us to come play this one city, so you go play there. And then it's like, oh, it's only those 12 people.
Right.
And then somewhere else that you don't expect at all, you're like, oh, do people know who we are here? This is so weird. Why? How do they know us? And I just don't, that part I never get used to. And the boys in the band will always tease me. I'm like, who are these people? They knew, who were they? The ones who knew the songs. And they're like, I don't know.
They're people
fans.
Who found your music.
Right, but like, whose friend are they? Like, which one of you knows them? And they'd be like, none of us know them. And I'd be like, but like, how do they know the songs then? Like, I just can never kind of make that leap of, they're people who found us and know the songs and like them.
Yeah.
And they don't know any of us.
It's awesome. It's our bass player, Jacob, he has been doing the same thing to me. Like, cause we've seen where, like, you know, we've played, like Kansas City or Chicago or Nashville, like some of these places that are kind of within a day's drive of us. Cause everything's kind of like, sometimes I wish we were up in the Northeast cause there's more cities closer together, but some of these places we've played like 5 or 6 times. And like, I think a lot of bands kind of, I've heard people say the same thing of like, oh, we have a lot of people listening to us in Chicago. And I'm like, well, Chicago's a really big city. There's more people there, more people into punk rock. That doesn't mean that you're going to go there and play a sold out show, you know, but we've seen like where when we've toured like a place like Kansas City or Chicago, and now we've been there 5 or 6 times.
Yeah.
And we didn't really start getting people coming back to see us until like the 3rd or 4th time.
Yeah.
And people were coming up to me and they were like, oh man, I saw you guys at Minibar, and then I saw you at Vivo like 2 years ago. And then, and Jacob's like, after somebody would leave, he'd be like, did you know that person? And I'm like, no. And he's like, I just think he'll be like, I just think that everybody that's coming to see us like knows you. And I'm like, no, dude, like these are people that like, you know, over time, like we've come back here and they've listened and they paid attention to when we were coming back, and you know, they're fans. I'm doing air quotes, but like,
it's a weird word to say, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so funny. And I still, when we, I went to Manchester Punk Fest this year, which was an amazing lineup. And, some guy that I didn't know walked into the room wearing a One Fall shirt. And I was so confused. And I was like, hey, and he was like, hi. And I was like, cool shirt. And he was like, okay. Like, I don't know if he
didn't knew know who
I was,
you were.
Or he was just like super cool and whatever, didn't care, but he didn't like really react at all, which is what happens to me all the time because I never know what bands look like. So, you know, some people know everything about the bands that they like, and they know all the members and all their history and where they're from and everything about them. And I'm like, I only know them from my ears most of the time. I don't go and like try to deep dive on who they are. So sometimes I'm like, oh, is that person in that band? They're from where? Are they from up here? Like, I'm like constantly being surprised by that information. So it's totally possible that guy just like had no idea what I looked like and didn't care. And, but, or he That's was awesome. Just like, yeah, okay, whatever. Or maybe someone just gave him a t-shirt.
Maybe. No, that's awesome. I love it. So we're running out of time a little bit here. So tell me, you know, what do you guys have coming up here in the future as far as like shows?
Oh boy. Well, let's see. So we just played our EP release show, which was amazing.
Yeah.
We played with Tie Radio.
I wish I could have been there.
Oh my God. It was really fun. It was a really great show. Keep Crush and Blame It on Whitman played. They're both awesome. They're like, I don't know. There's a really good scene up here right now. And then coming up, so we're playing the Silhouette in Alston, which is a nice little divey venue, which will be fun. We haven't played there before in September. I think it's the 3rd. And then we're playing with Iron Roses and Bad Cop, Bad Cop.
Yes.
In Somerville.
Awesome.
Yeah. Which is super, super, super excited about. Love both those bands. Love all the people in those bands. That's at September 25th, I want to say, in Somerville.
Okay.
And then we've got a fest is the big one coming up.
Nice.
In October. Obviously in Gainesville and super, super excited about it. We're really excited because we're playing Friday at like 4:30, which is my absolute dream slot. I'm like, great. Well, just get there, play first and be done.
Out.
We're like one of the first bands to play fest.
Absolutely.
You can just relax.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Helen, thank you so much. This was a blast. I feel like it's a good podcast when I don't even, I forget that I'm doing a podcast. And
I know, it's really fun.
We're just having a call catching up.
Yeah, I know. When are you coming back out?
We're not coming back out that way until probably next year. So, we're going to have we were touring a lot for like the last year and a half. So, we haven't done any out of town shows. July, August, we have one in September that's just like an hour and a half away. And then we have like a little tour in October. And then hopefully next year, early next year, our album's going to come out. So we're going to be like, we're going to be hitting it hard again. So, but we're kind of taking the rest of the year to like chill just like a little bit. We were gone for like a month for like, we were hitting the road like once a month, every month for long time.
That's great.
For like almost a year and a half. So, and I mean, it would just be like maybe 2 days sometimes, or like, you know, we flew down to Florida for a fest in February, like, you know, stuff like that.
But awesome.
Yeah. So,
well, maybe we'll have to come that way.
Yeah. Anytime you want to, please let me know. I'm happy to book it. We'd love to play. We definitely want to come up to your area. The farthest up we've ever been is New York. So,
come up. People would love you guys up here.
Yeah.
And Salem in particular, but like we can set up a show anywhere. I'm sure the Oh, the Humanity Boys said the same thing, but it's like, there's something really, really awesome happening right in our area right now. There's
awesome.
Just so many good bands. So
hell yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Well, we will, that's, it's on the list. So yeah, we'll definitely work on it. But, okay, we got less than a minute left.
Okay.
I'll have this up on Thursday. Thank you so much, Helen. It's so good to talk to you
and
see your
face.
Thank
you. Thank you so much for having me. It's really an honor.
This was a blast.
Awesome. Right. Well, I'll talk to you really soon.
Yep. Have a good one.
Okay, you too.
Bye. Bye.